Total Choice Radio means you say what we play. We are the station with no playlists and all Total Choice. 106.8 TCR FM.
Wild Time, Thomas Yannick on 106.8 TCR FM.
You are listening to Wild Time, the Animal Rights / World Conservation Show with myself, Thomas Yannick, here on TCR FM 106.8 in and around Tumblr, and of course globally on tcrfm.co.uk, as well as online on wildtimeonline.blogspot.com. Now, for decades and decades and decades, I would go to the zoo and would love it. I would bring my own children there and they would love it. Then the last, I don't know, probably 5, 6, 7 years, when I started studying wolves and mammals and birds, everything changed. Everything I believed in wasn't the way I thought it would be. And eventually I came to the conclusion, which is part of having an animal rights show, I suppose, is that animals in a zoo are really there to be displayed. And are, you know, and therefore zoos are a prison for animals. So I always really have to question how much conservation there is, because conservation, when it comes to what I really think is to make sure, you know, let's just make sure we have the numbers. But what happened just recently, and that's what we're talking here today about, is that, you know, just because numbers reach a certain amount, animals get euthanized. But that's not really what's happening. What's happening here is that the Denmark Zoo, according to the New York Times on the 2nd of August, basically euthanized animals instead of, you know, offering them to sanctuaries, because they would sort of mimic the wild, saying, you know, in the wild you have two-year-old animals, or in this case big cats, that would leave their mothers. And because they didn't know where else to put them, they had them euthanized. At least that's what I gather from what I hear all over the internet. And so it is something that I really dislike. Zoos actually are divided themselves about, you know, will we give birth control pills to our animals so that they cannot breed once they have reached the numbers that we need, whatever that is, or will we euthanize them? So again, apparently there are different methods done. In my book, you know, all life is precious. And today we're talking about animals, if I'm not mistaken, that are actually or can be seen as endangered. So on the phone or on Skype, and when I say on the phone or on Skype, it's because you might lose the connection. It's apparently lightning. There's apparently lightning and rain on the other end of England. So I'm joined here by Lucy Snow Leopard. Remember, it's a real name, not, it wasn't her Christian name, but she changed it. So she's the only person in the UK with that name. And it is her name. So we will find it in her passport and everywhere. Lucy, welcome back to the show.
Hi, yes, very good to be back, Thomas. Thank you for inviting me.
You're well, well.
This is a very passionate subject of mine.
And I know we have been, you know, I mean, this was sort of, I read about it, I saw that you posted it, I said, let's just do this. So I know it's a bit on the fly, as it were. But was I right so far in saying what I gathered from the report in the New York Times is really that the animals were being put down for no other reason than saying in the wild they might not have lived anyway?
Well, that's right. I've not been able to do too much research because it only came to my attention this afternoon. What they're doing when they have their numbers, they're letting them breed because they say that is a natural part of the life. But then because they've got the numbers, when the cubs, which when they're usually about 2 years old, they would leave the mother. When they get to that age, because they no longer require them as to their numbers, they're euthanizing them by lethal injection.
Okay.
Not only Amur leopards, but today it's the Amur leopards, the two that they did euthanize. All zoos don't do this. I have to make that point.
Yeah, I said that in the beginning. You know, we're not saying all zoos are doing it, but it is being done.
Yes.
And yes. I know that when we spoke earlier, you are involved in rescuing animals of that,
yes,
of that sort, if I can say that. So one option would have been, because that's the other thing that you noticed or made clear on one of your posts in Facebook, that there would have been establishments who would have said, look, you know, if you really don't want these animals anymore, we would have taken them and given them a life in a sanctuary.
That's right. Within, I think, about 10 minutes of posting, there's a sanctuary down south in the UK, said they would have taken them, but they weren't offered.
Of course.
They weren't offered them No word was put out. I think when this sort of thing tends to happen, they don't like media, they don't like reports, they don't like people finding out.
Yes, but here we are.
Yes, and we must get it made public, yeah. Get it worldwide. It must be stopped.
Absolutely, and I think the other thing that is important to say is, you know, regular listeners know that we have talked about virtually, you know, as many animals as we can fit into our shows, from bugs to elephants, we had them all. And to us, it doesn't really matter what animals they're going after if it's not justified, which it is in this case. But on top of that, that it is actually Emir leopards, which are very low in numbers anyway. That really seems to be something that cannot be overlooked. And the reason why I'm so angry about this is because it has been overlooked by people who work in a zoo, who always claim, you know, we do everything for these animals. We understand animals better than the regular Joe would. And then they do something. So that's my thing here that makes it, for me, unforgivable.
Well, yes, they're supposed to be preserving the animal. I think now numbers would be probably less than 20 in the wild. I have had a quick look, and there's a rough estimate of maybe about 176 in wildlife parks and zoos throughout the world. What are these numbers? These are nothing.
Absolutely.
To try and preserve the habitat, get countries like Russia to protect the habitat.
Yes.
Okay, so we get the habitat. We need the animals then to put back into the habitat, or what's the point?
Absolutely, and that's also a good point you're bringing up there, because one of my pet hates with regards to, not sanctuaries so much, because these guys usually do whatever they can, you know, to make a bad situation better. But many zoos, you know, one of my points always is, and probably has to be in the future too, is that one of the reasons why they do not really exhibit natural behavior is because they don't have their habitat there. You know, I don't think you can mimic the wild very well in captivity. There's two things here. One of the things is that we want these animals around. And my take is always, if the animal is around and then cannot have a good life because it's in confinement, that's a different thing. I know that some zoos have bigger places, but on a whole, if I get that right, most big cats can be quite territorial and seem to wander a bit.
Yes, they have a wide territory normally. Yeah.
So from that point of view, so just trying to sort of find out where you are sitting on this. Because obviously, yes, I agree, we should have these animals. But before we talk about, you know, this particular case is, you know, and you were talking about Russia, because also that would bring employment to people, you know, to guard that territory, then to make sure that these animals can flourish within it, you know, to police it somehow. So that's also good for humans. But on a whole, you know, I know that because you are involved in rescue, and it's probably fair to say that the point that the zoos are making is that we all have, the first time we saw an animal here in Europe was in a zoo. That doesn't make it right, because I've been to Africa, you know, saw them there in the wild, and it's vastly different, just to say that. So what would you like to see? I mean, do you enjoy going to the zoo?
Oh, I don't go. I go to wildlife parks. There are zoos that are doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two sides of the same coin here. You have people who are fighting for the habitat. They must have habitat to ever be able to be seen in the wild and live a natural life again.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have a reproduction program where people are breeding them. So we do have numbers to put back into the wild.
Yeah, but
not zoos that actually just exhibit them and only want a certain number, and anything over that, the euthanizing. No, that is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on many shows. I'm absolutely convinced that the people who work in the zoo love the animals because they have bad pay and bad hours. And many people really seem to love the animals. It doesn't take away from the fact that many animals that live in captivity cannot easily be re-released into the wild because they do not possess the skills that they would need in the wild. So that's another thing. Obviously, that's why what makes it so difficult is that this goes into so many different areas. So probably if they would bring the numbers back and somehow enable them to fend for themselves before they're being reintroduced, that might be something I would be willing to look at.
Yes, that is the idea. And one of the big zoos, I don't know if it's the London Zoo, but we do have wildlife programs that are working towards that. But the numbers are still so low that we haven't been able to go forward into that part of keeping them wild. And take where could we take them to release them? I have to admit now, Russia is doing a very good job, I think, now. They've advanced and they've admitted that the area, the habitat, needs protecting. Because, as we say, until we've got protected habitat, there's nowhere to put them anyway.
Absolutely.
But we have to keep numbers. We have to keep them breeding, or else what? A few years' time? There will not be an Amur leopard.
That I understand. Well, my point is always, like, you know, if I can only look at a leopard behind bars, and then to say at least he's here, that is wrong in my view of ethics. To say, you know, so that I can look at you, you know, you stay in captivity. So I understand where you're coming from. What I'm saying is that also, you know, when you look at it historically, I mean, 3,500 years BC, there was the first zoo. And we know that they imported animals from other countries. You know, I mean, in Egypt was one that had elephants and the likes and sort of wildebeest that didn't naturally wear there in that area. So obviously they must have, you know, dealt with someone back then. But it really didn't start from a conservation point of view, at least not back then. And also, when you look back at the earliest 20th century, there were people in New York, I think it was, that would put a little pygmy human beings into a cage next to a chimpanzee and say, "This is the link we are missing to the white man." So I'm just saying, you know, it can be quite messed up. The whole system is so I have sort of stopped being a fan of zoos simply because I don't see it happening. And also, you know, even when you look, you know, let's just say go back 40 years and go back to the time of Joy Adamson and you know, this kind of way, how difficult it was to re-release some semi-wild creature. So it is difficult one way or the other. I think the main thing that we have to do at the end of the day is education, you know.
Yes. Yes,
and also, I mean, yeah. It starts with saying, you know, the animal has value. That's my take when it comes to euthanizing them. Because as you mentioned right in the beginning, you know, since there are people that would have said, look, you know, if this is what you want to do to mimic the wild, for want of a better word, which again, I think is quite flawed, we take them. The very fact that wasn't done, I think is something that is really a bad thing, because, you know, that's just saying, you know, I have an old radio here and you're not going to get it. But we're talking about breathing beings.
Yeah, there are different kinds of zoos. I mean, there's the Yorkshire Wildlife Park, who took all the lions from a zoo in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
That zoo was terrible. Yes, they spent all their lives in cages. They didn't, nothing natural, nothing at all natural. You know, the feet never touch the ground, outside, yeah. Breeding, anything. This is zoos in Egypt. That's another point we're fighting now.
And we're just a couple of days ago talked to an activist over there and have uploaded the interview. So we talked about the governmental zoos in Egypt, especially Giza, and what's happening there. So if you want to check that out, it's on Wild Time Online. So yes, and I mean, one of the reasons, one of the things that are happening there is apparently that, you know, when you get these animals out and bring them to a wildlife park, absolutely, that's the better option. You know, so like I said, you know, I don't have a problem with that. The problem that I would have is to say, so now they're in a park, let's breed from them. And, you know, until we have solved, where can we put them, you know, naturally? That's my point.
Well, the point is, the numbers that there are left of the Amur leopard at the moment, I don't think there's a big problem. If you were talking thousands and thousands left, then yes, you're talking big areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the natural habitat, as we know, is on the Russian-Chinese border, southern Russia, I do believe, in that area. If even just that part could be a protected area, and I mean, protected with patrols and
the whole shebang, yeah, absolutely. And
then,
I think it can be
then
done.
Then we could put hundreds back. There would be room for them.
Absolutely. There are areas of Russia that are pretty wild. It does maybe not does not require, I think, that much work to put them there. As if you say, you know, let's just build a new habitat from scratch.
That's right. That the habitat is there. It just needs protecting from the hunters, yeah, the fur trade, oriental medicine.
Yes, all the whole nine yards. I mean, the reality is, as long as we are around as a species, animals never will have it easy.
No,
you
no.
Know, you know, what would you like to see, apart from the Russian thing? Because obviously we're trying to make this bigger, so that should it happen again, one of the reasons, if I get that right, one of the ideas probably would be to make the zoos contact someone.
Well, I don't know if there's anything in place where they should. I know there's something called a stud book, where if this happens with an endangered species, that it ends up that they breed, and they cannot cope with the numbers, a particular zoo, they are offered to other places for breeding or to increase numbers, whatever. Obviously, that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Or else these animals would have been offered. Word would have gone out. And as I just said, what, 10 minutes on the internet, and they're offered a place in the UK?
Yes.
I know there's conservation places in America, you know, that
yeah, and you know, them. Even though we're talking about a zoo in Denmark, the UK is probably easier to get to. So
yeah.
You know, so I think it would have been at least an option that should have been looked at.
It is, and it should have, yes. And so there are a lot of questions. That's why I say there's a lot of now research. I do have a telephone number for the zoo. Whether I don't speak Danish,
yeah,
they'll understand me. I don't know, but we need to get to the bottom of this. And the main thing here is, just to make sure it never happens again.
Yes.
It should be any endangered species, not only the mule leopard, but as you just said, yes, the big cats are my forte. And this with the mule leopard, at the moment, I have a petition going, working with so many people.
How can
we're
people
trying to save them?
Yeah. How can people sign the petition?
Well, I put it in groups. It's on my wall on Facebook. You just click on it. The petition site, sign, and that's it.
So for you listeners out there, I will have a look at Lucy's page, and when I find it, I put it up on the Wild Time Online page that you hopefully are familiar with by now. So you can sign it from there. For you guys out there, more probably it's not a bad idea to contact the zoo in Denmark and politely tell them what you think of the whole shebang. Do you have a number for us that we could give out? Because I don't know what zoo it is yet.
Well, it's Copenhagen Zoo.
Copenhagen Zoo, okay. Well, that's probably something we
should... There is a number. Let me just...
Copenhagen Zoo.
So I said I'm quite a little bit unprepared here.
That's all right. I know.
Oh.
I'm still
well,
happy...
It says your phone, but there's bound to be a international code.
Okay.
45 45 72 200 200.
Okay, so that's 45 72 200 200.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just open another window for you guys, because I'm sure I have the country codes saved somewhere here on my computer. See, it's all the 21st century. Or it's just a matter of finding.
You can give me that, then save me looking good.
Yeah, no, I just have a look here. So we have. Current local times. Country codes for international calling areas. See? It's all there. Now I only have to type in who are you, where are you calling from? UK. Who are you calling? Denmark. D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. Computer is not the quickest. That's always when you're on radio. It was just Denmark. D-d-d-d-d-d. So the country code is, that actually is the country code. 0045 is the country code. So you have the complete number then. So it's probably 0045 72 200 200, because the country code is 0045.
Right.
So the number for the Copenhagen Zoo, ladies and gentlemen, is 0045 72 200 200. And then, you know, there should be a person that is sort of, you know, responsible for the public. And just, you know, ask politely who it is, because, you know, shouting at them doesn't change a thing. And we try to keep it on a level where we can at least express what we feel, without being hung up on. So that's good. It is interesting when I checked this report that was out on August 2nd in the New York Times. They have a science corner on their online version. And a lady by the name of Leslie Kaufman has a thing here that says, when babies don't fit plan, questions for zoo is now what? And then she sort of says, you know, what happened. And she says, for instance, that in the United States, the choice is usually contraception. So chimpanzees take human birth control pills. Giraffes are served hormones in their feet. Grizzly bears have slow-releasing hormones implanted in their forelegs, even though, you know, it's quite invasive. So different zoos around the world obviously know of these problems for a long time. That's another thing, you know, when you usually listen to that stuff, they always say we don't have the numbers, we have to breed, 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 and then they put animals down. So probably if there would be a bit more upfront, we wouldn't feel quite so cheated.
Well, that's right. That's what we say. If they'd have been truthful about these two cubs and what they actually do, there was no need to euthanize them. There was a place for them, and there would have been more than one place, I'm sure.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this because obviously it's armor leopards, and you were saying there's about 176 in captivity and stuff, but you were talking about 20 to 30 in the wild. Is that what you told me earlier?
Yes, I had a look earlier, and obviously even from when those numbers, they're estimated.
Yes.
Because as we know, the mule leopard,
course,
you
course.
Know.
Because, you know, you probably are aware that just recently we did an interview about the cheetahs. And how their numbers have dropped. So there's loads going on. At this point in time, I know that you're doing this for a long time. I hope you guys, you know, go to Wild Time Online. We will go to the Facebook page / Wild Time Radio, and I will make sure that you get the petition to be signed. Where does the petition go to?
Well, the one for the mule leopard. It's going. There's a written copy I'm taking to the Russian embassy down London, and there's five different departments. It will be emailed to at the Russian embassy, just to make sure it doesn't get overlooked.
Absolutely.
And somebody picks up on it.
And how many signatures do you think you ought to be having?
I've had to push it at the moment. We're just over 2,000.
Yeah. Remember, you guys, you know,
I would like a lot more.
Yeah. It's also, you know, it is one of those things I noticed that, for instance, when we put anything out in August, we have a very limited listenership because it is... People are on vacation.
You know,
just to say, so that might well affect when you spread things on Facebook. That might well affect people signing it. So just to say that's what we usually on TCIFM, we even have the month off. We still have our online version, and oftentimes we sort of play catch up and air what we recorded over summer in the autumn on TCIFM. But we noticed that on radio on TCIFM virtually. You know, you don't get any response. Fortunately, with our online version, because we're quite established at this point in time, which is great. Thank you all for listening so often. That's different, you know. But one of the ideas, obviously, is to have this on radio, is because on radio you have people listening to this who aren't already in the field of wanting to help animals, which is again another important thing to get the public aware that this is not just someone who says I love animals. I mean, talking about the armor leopard, this is gross neglect because we're talking about a species that could well be gone soon.
Well, the point is, the few that's left in the wild, I mean, they're at risk. Yes, we said about mankind, forget about that. Even natural predators, illness. As we know, wild animals, they get sick, they get infections, they die. You're talking about 20.
Yeah.
20 is nothing. I mean, if you could imagine 20 leopards, put them in a 1 acre, you know, field.
They will fit in my studio, and I would probably happily leave it then.
Oh, I wouldn't. I want to leave.
No, I love them too much. No, if they're wild, I might reconsider. But, you know, probably if I started feeding them, you know, that was once the idea. People say, like, let's just try and tame them. And I think that's what caused the whole shebang, that all of a sudden they were looked at and then they were being compared to humans. And, you know, I always say it to people. People say to, you know, have you ever watched Star Trek? Do you remember Star Trek The Next Generation? Have you ever watched that stuff with Captain Picard and stuff?
Oh, well, it was really, ago.
Yeah, it was basically sort of really hip between 87 and sort of 94, 95. So it's been a while. But there's a guy who is from another planet called Klingon. And there is a guy in this series who is a sort of a godlike creature. And he calls him Bird Brain. So just to spite him and to tease him, he calls him Bird Brain. And when you look at how intelligent birds are, so they humanize everything. You know, I can't fly. You know, one of these things, you know, I don't have, you know, let's say an owl half. I cannot draw an auditory map so that I don't end up in the undergrowth if I could fly. So it's an amazing thing to see what animals actually can do. So, you know, but usually people just call them something. I know you remember everything, you know, when you first date someone and you call them any animals' names, you know, from, you know, they're usually chicks and hello chicken, how are you, you know, and then, you know, when you get divorced, they become cows, you know. So you know it all starts with also how we all of a sudden, you know, use these terms and attach negativity to them.
That's right. Yeah. I never even thought of it that way, but you're right.
I read this report probably years ago in a paper about a serial killer, and they said, "Oh, he's an animal." And I thought, an animal would never lock
someone. Never do that.
Would never lock someone away, assault them, and then try to, you know, dump them somewhere. You know, that's not an animal. But it was like, oh, what an animal. And then obviously, you know, when you go into the world of sports and wrestling, whatever have you, you know, everybody who has some stamina calls himself an animal. So it's one of those things that sort of bugs me. And you must actually get this. I know that people call you Catwoman.
Yes. I like it.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Not in a derogatory way, no, you know. I think, great.
But you know, when we talk about sort of the positive things, you know, what is the most negative that you usually experience when you try to talk to people about making sense? Let's just say about, you know, saving these 20 creatures, and I call them creatures because that's how people actually look at them sometimes. When do you find it difficult when you say to people, look, you know, this is going on?
The worst part is, are the people that when you're trying to tell them that there's so few left, they look blank as though to say, well, so what? You know, a mule leopard. It doesn't matter whether it's in a mule leopard or it's a certain breed of ant, whatever.
Yeah.
Nature, everything in nature is in the chain.
Yeah.
And we keep taking links out of that chain. And all of a sudden, that chain is no use. It collapses. You cannot take links out. But people look as though to say, well, it's all right. I've got my television tonight. Sports on, you know. And I'll go down pub on Friday. They just don't care. You know, they'll always collapse, be enough dogs and cats.
Yeah.
They have a pet. They have a dog or a cat.
Yeah.
What's in the wild?
It's quite surprising because, you know, when you are from where I'm from, from Germany, where we do have, you know, sort of great television programs, you know, when I started learning English, the first thing I noticed is how big David Attenborough is and how many people do watch him. So finding it in the UK always is sort of a downer for me, you know. Because I really believe, you know, when you listen to, you know, when you watch the stuff, you know, on German television or something, you know, you kind of think like, you know, people here are so aware. And
but they're not. If you did a survey on the kind of programs, yes, a lot of people watch the BBC documentaries, wildlife programs. I would say, I don't know, and I don't want to be derogatory in any way, but most people would watch the ordinary game shows, soaps.
And even that's the other thing that I often say, even if you watch it and not connect, you know, then it just, that's not what it was created for.
No, that's right.
You know?
Could I just make a point, though?
Absolutely.
This particular zoo, because I had, as I say, I've been trying to do quickly more research, you know, about it. That particular zoo puts down about 20 to 30 healthy exotic animals every year, including gazelles, hippopotamuses, Amur tigers, and on rare occasions, even chimps.
Yes, and the zoo is called the Copenhagen Zoo, right? Are we talking about the proper zoo?
Yes, the Copenhagen Zoo,
Okay. So what is important is to remember, you guys, when you get in touch with Copenhagen Zoo, remember that there are many people working in the zoo that probably do not condone that and who have their hands full with work, and they're very attached to animals. So just, you know, so don't be too general when it comes to, you know, when you have someone on the phone, you know, when you shout at them. let's just all try to get it in the direction where it's been heard of. It should be the highest possible, you know, people there that we should try to reach and tell them, look, you know, you are being watched or we know what's going on there. You know, I just want to say that because sometimes it's very easy to blame people on the ground. And even though, yes, personally, I think, you know, there are, you know, like I said, I wouldn't go to a zoo these days. I wouldn't work in a zoo. You know, I have my view has changed. But on a whole, I still think, you know, it's a bit easy to just scream at the people that really can't change it.
Well, that's right. I mean, when you ring, be assertive. Just say, if you've got any suggestions as to what would help this problem so it doesn't happen again, by all means, say them. Don't be aggressive. Aggression, it won't get us anywhere.
Absolutely.
This is a problem we have to work with the zoo to sort out, to make sure it does not happen again.
Exactly, because, you know, unfortunately, they're not going away overnight. And if it is about the animals, then we have to look out for possible solutions. And you were saying about Russia, the main issue might be, you know, if they would, let's just say they would release them all, they probably have a financial interest in them. And if you release them into the wild, they would probably think, okay, well, how am I going to make some bucks out of it?
Tourism. People would want to see them in the natural habitat. I mean, this is what they do in parts of Africa, is not to interfere. The animal is living in the wild, and they can pay big money to go just to see one in the wild. Whether they actually see one, that's the chance you take when you go on these...
But being there, you know, in the wild yourself is so amazing that, you know, seeing animals there is a bonus. I remember when I went there in 2007, I took pictures, and I probably have pictures of 40 rhino asses because they were just too quick. I would never get them from the front, you know. Probably have one or two. But that's the fun of it. And also, for you guys who listen regularly, probably remember this, we talked to Jim Robertson, who lives in the somewhere in the sticks in the States, and he is an anti-hunter, wrote a book about it. And he gave me statistics, you know, saying that sort of wildlife watchers bring in more money than hunters. The problem is that it takes longer to generate that money over the year. So people are just seeing all this big wad of money and let the hunters in. But it is, as a matter of fact, only 4% in the States are actually hunters. So there are many people who watch wildlife, and it generates more money. And that's just to say that. So there is something that is going on there. And you're absolutely right. You know, watching them in the wild also shows you how they're really meant to be.
And in a way, it's a bit like going back to nature.
Mm-hmm.
You are putting yourself at the back and seeing the animals. It's their habitat. It's their life, the way they live. It's natural. It's being at one with them. And all nature.
Yeah, and also, you know, remembering that we are connected, because you know, I do believe that we are all connected, and that's why you feel a kinship with animal, oftentimes, you know.
That's right. Absolutely.
So before I let you go, I just want to make sure that that when people want to have a look, it's quite easy. You type in Lucy Snow Leopard, you know, on Facebook, and you come to Lucy's page where you find the...
My nickname, Snowy. Yeah,
okay. but the website would be, or the Facebook address would be www.facebook.com/Lucy Snow Leopard. So people would find you there. Well, that's how I found you anyway. I heard about you, typed in Lucy Snowleopard, and there you were. So it won't be any different for other people. But you can all sign the petition. That's really good. Also, I want to say this.
On the link I put up about this happening with the zoo,
mm-hmm.
Where it says Seymour, drop the box down. And the lady who did the original posting, there are other petition addresses on there as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There are a few petitions can be signed. The number is on there as well, although you give it out, Thomas.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I say, my petition's on there. There's two on, actually, on my wall. There's one for the snow leopard, which is also endangered.
Yes, and we talked about that.
And the mule leopard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so fingers crossed that it will all work. Because really, you know, we are running out of time. That's my other thing always, you know. I mean, that's why I said to you, like, let's do this today. You know, I mean, it's both our Sundays, you know, but we said, let's do this.
Oh, but Thomas, you know how passionate I am about these.
Yes,
things.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I really am.
Yeah, and I think that's brilliant. I really think that's brilliant, you know, but also, you know, I wasn't even aware that there are only 20. I thought the number is higher. I had this 100 and something in my head. So that does come as a shock.
They've said for a few years between 35 and 40, somewhere around there. And I've been on the internet this afternoon. Obviously, that was a couple of years ago, more years ago. And now they're saying between 19 and 25. Yeah. So that is just a guess. I would say about 20. If you want to take a guess, if there's 20, we are lucky.
Yeah. And also, it's interesting to see that every time you go and check, it becomes less. It does not become more. So we have to act now.
That's right.
So that's why
we could have saved these two. They need to have died. Absolutely. That is the point.
Exactly. So for the future animals in that zoo, the zoo should be dealt with. At the same time, it is really important to sign petitions because they are going towards making sure that these animals have a habitat where in the future other animals can live. So, you know, let's not just focus on the negative that these animals died. Always conserve a bit of energy for signing the petitions and doing whatever you can do.
That's right. A few seconds of your time and you can be helping save these animals. And that's all it takes, a quick click onto the petition.
Yeah, and tell your friends about it.
Oh, yes, and share.
Exactly.
So is sign and share.
Yeah, okay, that's really important, you know, because you have that lot. I mean, you know, I said study to you, you know, I didn't know. And we have to stop saying I didn't know. You know, someone told me about that. That should be the way forward. You know, Lucy, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, even though it might not be that easy today. But you're doing a great job, and I'm glad that you were on the second time. And you know what they say,
Thank you, lucky. Thomas. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
You are welcome. And I have a feeling, a sneaky suspicion, that eventually we will talk again.
I really hope so.
And let's just hope that next time it will be for better reasons.
Yes, something good. Yeah. We want something good next time, Thomas.
Exactly. All right, then. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.